BuzzFeed has a morning show called AM to DM. It airs live at 10 a.m. East Coast time from BuzzFeed's Manhattan headquarters. When there's breaking news, the host can go live to a BuzzFeed news reporter anywhere in the building or just about anywhere in the world via Skype. The show gets top-tier entertainment guests like Bill Hader, who was on earlier this week promoting his new HBO series, Barry. Senators come on when there's political news. Figure skater Adam Rippon came on after the Winter Olympics. The million-plus viewers who watch AM to DM every weekday on Twitter or BuzzFeed.com are all over the world. They're in Europe taking an afternoon break, or in New York between classes, or on the West Coast just waking up. And the majority of them, particularly the younger viewers, are watching the show on the TV of choice, their phones. Tell me about the show. When did you actually start doing this? You do it live every time, right?
We do. I guess the earliest iteration of the show was a private pilot week we did in July. And Isaac, you were there for most of it. You want to talk about that week?
Yeah, I was there. We basically there was an empty floor here in the building, and we just kind of took over a corner of it, set up a totally impromptu stage, a studio, basically, as it were. And we did an in-house, you know, not shown to the public pilot week, basically. And then kind of it ran from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was basically just a week of trying out segments, trying out hosts and co-hosts, and just getting a sense of what that could look like. Because for all of us, it's like we've been learning what the show would be as we were creating the show.
And from the beginning, before you actually started, did you conceptualize it as GMA for Twitter? Or was that, what was the pitch? What was the idea?
That's a good point. I mean, I think what we knew was that we wanted to create a morning show for Twitter, for people who are passionate about that specific platform. How would this engage that form, that medium? And I think we were also very aware that, a lot of things that we think of when we think of morning shows can't translate, and we weren't going to try to. Is that fair?
Right. But there's a lot of things on Twitter that we wanted to try and translate into the show. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we worked with. And then in August, around late August, I would say we started rehearsing in earnest. Mm-hmm. And then the show itself launched on September 25th.
Right. And when we say in earnest, I mean, it's like they're building the studio. We're interviewing APs and PAs and senior producers. We're buying clothes and learning, like, you know, what are we going to be able to wear on camera, and not, like, all of it, reading from a teleprompter. All of that is happening at the same time as we are very quickly learning what's working, what isn't, and what we believe in and what we don't.
My wardrobe was all black, so I had to buy a lot of – first day on set, they're like, yeah, that's not going to work. I was like, no.
And other than appointment viewing, with it being at the same time every day, what is the trigger for people? Is it mostly notifications on iPhones? Is it mostly something else?
It's notifications. It's live cards where we can tweet out a link where actually, you know, if you – so you see a tweet, but you also see the live segment happening in that moment, right? So, and then if you see that card later when the show's over, that becomes a replay card. So that's helpful.
And you actually have those coming out during the show sometimes,
Throughout. And we can tweet it at any time. Like, I could tweet one right now. And that's just really helpful, both for people who are, you know, following, you know, us or one of the guests, right? In the case of Adam Schiff, you know, someone or whoever runs Senator Adam Schiff's account, right, will, you know, tweet out like, hi, right now I'm on AM to DM. And so people who are following that congressperson or that famous actor or, you know, Adam Rippon, like, I'm sitting down on AM to DM. And so it's a way for people who are already interested in whoever that person is or subject matter that they are pulled in.
So you're seeing a lot of non-recurring sort of pop-up people that might listen to you thereafter, but they're discovering you through maybe the guest that's on the show.
Right, discovery's the goal, you know, and we would love for people to go, first-time listener, you know, and I didn't know what it was, but now I'm into it.
Yeah, and there are, you can see it, also viewers can share it too, right? So you see viewers who are like, oh my gosh, I'm loving this segment, like, everyone come check this out. And that's where I say live.twitter.com/AM2DM.
Oh, you better do that plug.
Have you approached subject matter as sort of whatever the best booking is or whatever feels interesting for the day? Or are you trying to check certain boxes, a little bit of news and a little bit of Hollywood and a little bit of IT?
I don't think it is tracking boxes. It is trying to be in tune. Well, I would say there are two tracks, right? There is the big sit down guest, Adam Rippon, you know, Congress people like Kamala Harris, Adam Schiff, Bill de Blasio, you know, your
David Chang,
yeah.
Anthony Bourdain.
Tomorrow you're talking to Ugot from Wu-Tang Class. So that's one track of booking that's kind of on its own. That's always going to be a part of the show, if that makes sense. But then the rest of the show, right, it's built around ongoing cultural conversations, things that people are interested in. Everyone's talking about Tide Pods, you know,
right.
Like, let's talk about that. And then, you know, the day of, what on earth happened with Sam Nunberg last night? A lot of people were following it. Okay, that's going to be a part of the show's DNA.
And you can't produce that the day before at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sure can't.
Hasn't happened.
Right, yeah. So it is a lot of standby. It's a lot of being proactive. You know, so last night, you know, as I'm sure you were seeing, like Sam Nunberg, I think it's a perfect example, right? We're about to probably go to sleep around 7 or 8 most nights. So the best we can do is kind of flag it on an email and say, you know, and get the conversation started. If we do still need to talk about this in the morning, who could be available as a booking, right? Might not pan out. 5 other things might happen. But if this does still matter, then who will it be? And then we wake up and, oh, it does. Okay.
And we do. We come into the office at 7 a.m. Yeah. And we sit down with our production team and we really do start making the show, because we do. We want to be reflective of that Twitter conversation, which is the conversation that's happening right now. Yeah. And so we do. We produce those segments live that morning before the show goes live at 10 a.m.
And it's incredible. I think when you develop that muscle, it doesn't begin to feel like such a Herculean feat. I mean, we were, you know, in the production meeting this morning. By then, it was probably 7:20 or so. We knew we have Nunberg. We're talking about, okay, North Korea, da-da-da-da. And I've been thinking about the West Virginia strikes. And by chance, I saw a tweet in that moment on my timeline. I was like, oh, that's right, you know, and it was so cool that, you know, right then we bring it up. We have a quick conversation. Someone reaches out to a BuzzFeed News reporter, Cora Lewis, who's been covering protests and labor law. And then one of the producers booked a wonderful teacher who's been, you know, involved in the protests in West Virginia. And like, that happened pretty quickly this morning.
That's one of the things that I think is so important about coming from BuzzFeed News. You know, we have so many guests on from other outlets, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. We have some wonderful guests. We have some big name guests like Saeed was mentioning earlier. But there's also this thing where we can turn to our reporters right here at BuzzFeed News. They're so on the ball. They can talk on so many different subjects and can often reach out to the people that they're covering and bring them on the show. And I think this moment with this West Virginia teacher was a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's something you have, like NBC Nightly News or the New York Times, The Daily. You've got something, you've got a support system set up where when things happen, they're actually physically here in a lot of cases, the people you need. Mm-hmm. Has there been a lot of, like, you haven't had me on the show yet, kind of? I mean,
Not yet. I mean, I think what helps is that it's a daily show. And there's always more show that's going to need to be created, right? So it kind of helps. That's, I guess, one thing you never have to stress about. Will we ever be able to have so-and-so on? We'll always be able to find time for people we believe in and for people that we're excited to learn from.
And it's not just here in the building. BuzzFeed News has headquarters kind of all around the world.
Right.
And we also often have reporters in the field. So Remy Smith is a great example. She's been doing some wonderful reporting out of Parkland, Florida, some really hard and difficult reporting. And so we're able to basically Skype with these reporters and bring them into the studio, even if they aren't here in the building.
And you're doing that live.
We're doing it live. Yeah, and they do. You know, our producers do a Skype test about 30 minutes before the show goes live. So we also not just, you know, reporters. Something I think that is different about the show is what we call like power users. People are on, like me and Isaac, on Twitter all the time, obsessed with these conversations. And it's fun to pull them in. Imani Gandhi has a wonderful podcast about law. She's based in Oakland. And so, you know, Trump was having one of those mornings where he was tweeting, you know, just so much about sanctuary cities. And I happened to see that she was also up, you know, at, you know, 6 o'clock her time, you know, in California, tweeting really passionately about it. And we were able to book her as a guest that morning. And that feels that's another example, I think, of a morning show for Twitter, right? Because I think those kinds of well-informed, passionate guests from all different kinds of backgrounds aren't really going to make it onto a lot of those, you know, traditional morning shows or cable news shows even.
Without naming names of other outlets, has it become competitive for booking that if you do my show today, you can't do this other show, or I won't book you if you've been on this other show within the last few days?
Not from our end.
Late night where you see the host trying to own a particular week.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, we have a wonderful talent booker, Edward Wyckoff Williams, who's dealing with, you know, all kinds of, you know, it's a whole world onto his own. He's doing so much work. So sure, it's like, you know, with big names, I'm sure their publicists are doing with things that we will never be aware of. But for us, it's openness, you know, because I think part of what we have to do and want to do is to be of use to Twitter and to be of use to the conversation to be relevant. That kind of comes first. And so for us, it's not really about owning you know, a booking or a specific guest. We had yesterday the 2-year-old girl Parker and her mom Jessica, and you know, her standing in front of Michelle Obama's portrait in the National Gallery. And I just saw, you know, now Michelle Obama just posted a tweet with meeting Parker. You know, and it's
well,
really
I saw the clip yesterday.
Yeah, and just a couple hours. Like they met at some point, you know, in the last 24 hours and everything. To me, that's like, it's exciting to get to be a part of that story. You don't own the story, you're a part of it. And I think that's very true for Twitter. When things go viral, it's kind of fast and it kind of transforms.
And you build off of things.
Yes.
You build off of these conversations, and also different conversations are happening all the time. It's another great part of Twitter. Like somebody can go on one of these different shows and sit down and have a conversation. It's not going to be the same conversation they have with Saeed, you know? So there's these different, there's no need to like you said, to use your language, own or like clamp down on a guest. We want more of it. You know, the more exposure they have, the better we're looking too. David Chang, the chef who I mentioned earlier, was on the Trevor Noah show not too long ago. We would never be like, oh, well, you did Trevor Noah's show, so don't come on AM to DM. Absolutely not.
Right. And if anything, I try, particularly with guests of that caliber, to work with the producers to watch and learn, you know, okay, what have they talked about? What does this guest usually ask?
Right.
You know, and some of those things, yeah, they're, you know, they're here to plug a new TV show that they're really proud of and worked on very hard on, or a new album or everything. But also I find there's so much that traditional shows don't get to with guests, right? And guests are kind of like, okay, here we go. Here's the normal. Let's find something different. And I think that can come from all kinds of places. I love, as a queer Black man, when we have guests who are LGBT or in a part of queer culture, we can go to a totally different place. And I'm like, listen, if you're watching, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But it's nice to kind of have that refreshing conversation. And I see it in people's eyes. They light up, whether that's Laverne Cox or Adam Rippon.
Yeah. And it's also, we see it reflected in the tweets. Because that's the other thing. Like, one of the unspoken taglines, I'd say, of the show is like, let's give them something to talk about. Yeah. Let's give them something to tweet about.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
The show airs at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. East Coast. Mm-hmm. Does it delay for the other time zones, or is it live?
It doesn't delay. So it is live. So basically now, when you see that time card, we're up and running. And then as soon as we're done, if let's say you were coming to it at 11:05 or 6:00 at night or whatever, you hit it and it's just going to replay the show. So it's great.
So are you finding that the West Coast audience is just listening live earlier, or it's more of an on-demand later viewing?
I think it's been dynamic because when we started, it was more like catch it live, catch it when you have it, before we were kind of up and running. And I was surprised to see people be like, I'm waking up early. I'm like, really? You know, but now I think it's, you know, people are able to come to it at different points, because that's the thing. Like, everyone's morning is so personal, right? Like, everyone's morning routine, and it's so different based on your work schedule and what you kind of need. And so I love the idea of the show being in sync where people need it, as opposed to trying to make people jump over hurdles to come to us.
And we get tweets throughout the day. That's what, like, I'll get a tweet that's like, Isaac, what are you talking about? Like, at like 11, you know, after the show's over.
So the morning's episode is, quote, good for 5 hours hours.
You can watch it until the next show is happening. I mean, we have a regular viewer who is in Japan, and it's her favorite night show. She talks about it. I've met people who are based in India. And again, they're kind of like, it's kind of our late night show and everything like that. So that's kind of part of the balance. When you were asking earlier about, like, are we thinking entertainment, news, or everything, it's more about different tones, right? And is the conversation we're having something that will still be relevant as the story develops, mm-hmm. right? And that's where I think the reporters come in, because their insight, even if the story develops and changes, is still going to be useful, right? We still need to know who Sam Nunberg is, even if in 5 hours, you know, he's on cable news again.
The tough thing about anything new media and developing a regular audience is either getting someone to adopt that new habit or replace something else with you as that habit. What are you hearing from people as far as, I listen to this at the gym, or I used to watch Morning Joe and now I watch this, or how are people coming to the show from a standpoint of what's their routine?
Well, again, I think it's just like our audiences, it's all completely different. It's a very diverse. There's people that are at work and they talk about being at work, or, oh, darn, I've got to leave like 5 minutes before the show ends because I have a meeting scheduled. There are definitely people watching as part of their morning routine. And like Saeed was saying, there are people that watch either after we've wrapped and they come back to the Periscope. It's a global audience, just like Twitter is a global platform. And there are people that are watching it on their own time. As far as coming into somebody's morning, Saeed mentioned this, it's a very personal thing to ask to for them to take us in. I would say a lot of our audience started as fans of Saeed. I want to start there. I think there are a lot of people that came to the show because they wanted to hear what he had to say and then really evangelized for the show. And so we've talked to so many people that we know that watch the show that don't actually tweet about it that often because they do kind of have it going on there.
When they're in meetings.
Yeah, right.
That weird, consistent 10 a.m. meeting some people seem to have on their work calendars. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess the other thing I would say is for a lot of people, morning shows haven't been a part of their lives for a few years. You know, this isn't true for everyone, right? Though a lot of those shows still have huge, huge audiences, right? But I have to
admit, you come on later than those shows.
Right, come on later. And I have to admit that, you know, my work life for the last few years, no, it has not been a consistent thing for me to watch morning shows because I began to develop a perception that it wasn't for me. That the kinds of conversations, the kinds of guests, the aspects of news that I would like to see honored and colored weren't really fit for those types of shows. And so I think that's part of what we're trying to do with AM to DM. And so, yes, it is people perhaps adjusting, but also it's people going, huh, didn't know this was an option. And that to me is the most exciting. I mean, that speaks to, you know, my last 5 years here at BuzzFeed from the time that I, you know, launched the LGBT vertical in 2013. Just kind of people going, I didn't even know a major news organization would invest in this kind of coverage.
And that's like, again, it comes back to the DNA of Twitter being inside the show. People turn to Twitter because they want to have the conversations they want to have that they aren't seeing or aren't having anywhere else. And I think AM to DM really reflects that.
Yeah. Does BuzzFeed want more? I mean, is what would be next a 3 p.m. show or like an 8 p.m. show?
I know BuzzFeed would love more. I think we all would. It's really exciting. I mean, there's so much talent in this building. And that's not just full-time staff. It's like guests that we are having on from, you know, people at The Atlantic. I'm thinking of McKay Coppins, who's just been on my mind. He's been on the show a few times. Yeah, absolutely. There does seem to be an opportunity, right? And I think it's exciting for anyone who's creative to see, like, oh, possibility. And you want to be a part of that. So, you know, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, I've been enjoying watching the show. I think I see it more in the clips that come later in the day than I see it live. And then, you know, to hear you say everybody's experiencing the show in different ways is kind of interesting that it's both live and on demand, depending on the user. So, and I like the energy of it. It's caffeinated is sort of the word my producer and I use when we talk about whether my show was caffeinated enough on a particular day. And your show is always very caffeinated.
Very caffeinated. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, someone was saying, they were like, AM to DM is a show with like neighbors who are just like very, very awake at 7 a.m.
Well, I really appreciate you talking to me.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.